Hello and welcome to Nintendo Podcast System, episode 53, with myself, Matthew Gibson, and joining me are Jack Gorn and Sam Barnes.
Hello!
Hello, peeps!
I don't know what to say. That's it. That's it. End of the show already.
Alright, bye then.
Yeah, sorted. This is episode 53 of Nintendo Podcast System. As I've already said, I'm clearly struggling of things to say if I've already repeated what I've already said. Regardless, E3 happened this past week. Of course, we'll be talking about Nintendo's performance at E3, talking about its Direct,
games of the show. Extensively. Full depth, everything.
That will be
for like
replacing
10 games.
Exactly. So that will be replacing our news section, because pretty much all the news have been to do with E3 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that for you, a big meaty section for that to sink your teeth into, if you could. Then we have what I've been playing, as always, as well as our shoutouts. But I think, first of all, I think it will be quite amiss for Sam, if you have anything to share with the class.
I'm sorry,
teacher Gibson.
I'm sorry, I gotta sit in the corner. No, I'm sure if people have already seen on Twitter, this will be my last podcast as co-host. I kind of sad to sort of really be leaving this, but I mean, I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and like, I know you two will carry it on to be a really good thing as well. I've just, life has gotten so busy for me that I'd rather you guys carry it on and continue to be a great show, really.
That's cool. I'm sure we both appreciate it, you know. It's been an incredible journey.
Like,
they say.
Three years.
3 years,
not,
I know.
Not a bad episode with you. if it was a bad episode, it'd be entirely on my part. Trust.
Absolutely, I agree.
So that is quite a sad bit. So we are really hoping to make this a good send-off for Sam as a co-host. Hopefully we'll be able to drag him on against his will for a guest appearance sometime in the future. Again, just early on, I'd like to say extensive thanks to Sam for his hard work, for these past 3 years, since almost the beginning of the show, and for making what it is today. So I hope we can send you off on a respectably high note.
But like we said to Jason when he left, the door is always open. You can always welcome back whenever.
Exactly.
Just let us know.
Thank you, guys.
You can be a very special guest.
That's the highest honor.
No, thank you though. Honestly, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. We'll save that till that later. Let's get on with the show. People
get on
here,
the show. Let's do it. Get on with it.
Hold on, Sam.
Yes.
What is our what has been our opening music?
Oh yeah, good point. And I've already forgotten that as well. It was since like we're all in E3 and stuff, and I must admit I love the music from this. All of it's going to be Smash Bros. Mostly from Smash Bros. Brawl, because I thought that one had one of the best soundtracks. It's probably maybe been going for a little while, but it's the Super Smash Bros. Brawl menu music, because I quite enjoy that. It's got a good rhythm and always kept me pumped when I went to go play a game.
Yeah, we're pumped. We're pumped and ready. Yeah.
Right, so let us head into the next section. So this is the what have we been playing section of the podcast. Who would like to go first?
I better leave mine to last, because most of mine's from the parts from E3 anyway. So, right. You know.
First?
Should I go first then? Because I don't think I've gone first that much.
All right, then. You're going first then.
Yeah. Sorry. It shouldn't be too, hopefully it won't be too long, but then again, this is me we're talking about, so, phew. Okay. Anyway, so
4 hours later.
So, since the last episode, the game I have been playing is Splatoon 2 Octo Expansion, which, of course, is the DLC for Splatoon 2, which, in a nice surprise, actually dropped during E3. I wasn't expecting it to come out this early. I was expecting it to be July 13th, where on the same day as Octopath Traveler and Captain Toad. But anyway, Octo Expansion, bloody hell, is really good.
Okay.
So it is a single player campaign, but it's just a lot more meaty. You know, there's a lot more substance to it. Like, it's a lot more creative. Both in terms of its aesthetic and its actual gameplay. Mm-hmm. So in terms of gameplay, you're no longer... the main missions isn't always to just plainly get to the goal, and if it is, there's always like some sort of twist to it. Like, one of the more memorable ones is that you can't get hit at all or step in enemy ink. So if you do, you automatically fail the mission.
Oh damn.
That's difficult.
Oh, another classic one is to guide an 8-ball. Which is sort of like their take on the escort mission, so you have to shoot the this giant ball all the way to a specific goal. But even then, you know, each time there is an 8-ball escort mission, there's always like some way to spice things up in between each level, be it like a new gimmick or a new object or something like that. And there's 80 levels in the game, which is of course a lot more than the single players, I think 30 something. So you're getting double the levels. They can be somewhat shorter depending on the mission. But what it makes up for is its creativity as well as its difficulty. They can be really tricky. And the other thing I really liked about it was the story of it. You know, it takes on a new take. So you play as Sockdling, which is just waking up without their memories. And you have to board the Deep Sea Metro in order to complete tests and gather the four fangs. Not four things, four fangs. THANGS. Real fresh. So that's your main object, but, you know, I just like the lore that's explored within this mode. I think it takes more center stage during Octopath Traveler. Not Octopath Traveler, Octo Expansion, compared to this.
You got well mixed up there.
It is confusing, alright. It is, like, more out there in terms of the lore. Like, it's more... not recognizable, but it's easier to come into contact with new lore.
Yeah, the other one, it was more of a secret scroll, wasn't it?
Yes, but... sunken scrolls. Which, you know, I think there is a bit of a lack of replayability, because of course you could search for Sunken Scrolls. And if you really wanted to complete every mission, single player campaign with every weapon, which of course is not how Octo Expansion works. Instead, when you enter a level, you are given an option between at max three weapons. Some will only have one weapon set, but others will have three. And they may be more difficult depending on which weapon you use. So, for example, if it's it's hard to say on the top of my head, but say if you have like a more shooter class, like the Splattershot, compared to a blaster, like a blaster or something. The mission at hand may be harder to do if you equip the blaster, so you could use that for the extra challenge. And for taking up that challenge, you get a high reward, being CQ points, which you use to access new levels. I believe it's game over when you run out of CQ points.
Okay.
Because when you run out of lives in a level, you actually repay the fee to take the... I'm getting all mixed up. So before you take the challenge, so you choose a weapon, and then you actually have to pay a fee to enter the level.
Right, okay.
So those are CQ points. That's what those are used for.
How do you get CQ points?
So you're given a certain amount at the start of the game, at the start of the campaign.
Right.
Then, of course, you gain them by completing missions. So there's a test fee, and then there's a reward fee for completing the challenge. So when given a level, the test fee may be 200 CQ points, and then I select a weapon. Between two weapons, the shooter, if I complete the challenge with the roller, I may get 500 CQ points, but if I complete it with a charger weapon, I may get 700 CQ points. So
okay. That would imply that. So it makes it more difficult,
yeah.
But you get more reward for it, kind of thing, basically.
Hmm.
So you're able to choose what you want to do with it, which is something I quite appreciate. I may give a bit more replayability if you want to. I'm not sure about rewards, though, for completing a certain mission with all different items. But there are some genuinely surprising moments. I think Jordan Morrow, a game designer on the Splatoon 2 team, described that the main campaign is more traditional. I personally think it was too safe. They introduced a lot of cool things, but especially with the somewhat disappointing final boss, I think too traditional, whereas Octo Expansion really tried to do something different. And I think one really good indicator of this is its closing moments. I won't spoil it, but I was quite happy with the final boss, basically put, and I hope that this is the direction they take single player in. If they do Splatoon 3, I want something as unique as this. I don't want the Splatoon 3 campaign to be just the same thing, and to just save an actually good single player campaign for pay DLC. Anyway, Octo Expansion, really good. I think a good price.
How much is it?
£18, which is pretty good for what it is. I'd say it's worth it, especially for a lot of the bonuses and stuff. It's good.
You unlock the Octolings. Mm. You unlock the Octolings as well for multiplayer.
Yeah. So you unlock them once you beat the final boss.
Right. Cool.
It's good. I hope. Yeah, it gives me hope for Splatoon 3's single player. I think this is how paid DLC should be done. By Splatoon going forward, just give us more single player content. Just be adventurous with it, you know. Give us like a new scenario like the Octo Expansion had. That was really the thing I liked about it. But yeah, that's myself done. For now.
It's good to hear the Octo expansion is pretty cool though. I was tempted to pick it up recently, but I haven't played Splatoon for ages. It's one of those games I need to be in the right mood to play, and I'm just not in the right mood to play it. But yeah, I'll definitely look into it in next couple of weeks probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It is definitely good. I think it's been my first Switch purchase in quite a while actually, so I'm feeling
cool.
Quite happy. Anyway,
nice.
Who would like to go next?
Sam?
Okay, I'll go next then. Well, we can talk about this next one together because
yes, we can.
We both can play Pokemon Quest. Do we really need to explain it? It's
awful.
It's not that bad. Jesus Christ, janked on the offensive. Basically, Pokemon Quest is kind of more like an exploration game where you recruit Pokemon to help you explore this island in different areas, and you can like get stronger and level the Pokemon up just like you would like in game. Like some of the mechanics, like the trading ones and the stone evolutions, aren't there. They just basically level up like normal at a certain level.
Each level goes up.
Much to my dismay. Because you get to choose from the five starters, which is Pikachu. Oh, it's the original 150, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yay.
So it's
Shinies.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there are Shinies as well. But you start off with Pikachu, Squirtle, Charmander, Bulbasaur, or Eevee. I went Eevee, funnily enough.
Well.
I was like, oh yeah, I got the possibility of like one out of three different ones. I was like going, come on, I want a Jolteon, a Jolteon, a Jolteon, and I finally leveled it up. But like, you have to level grind really a lot to try and level up. There are other ways of doing it, but it's just like, oh, and I got a bloody Flareon.
Oh no.
Gutted. I was absolutely gutted. I was like, I wanted a Jolteon. So I'll try and get another Eevee and then level that up.
At least you've got the possibility, but trying to get hold of the starters is really difficult. But it's all done on like a random cooking sort of mini game.
I've got all the starters.
You got all of them, have you? Fair enough.
Yeah, I got them all. I got a shiny Pikachu that knows Volt Tackle. So I was like, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Because they've all got up to two moves on each one as well, haven't they? So you basically choose while you're in game. You don't actually control the characters themselves. They sort of walk around on their own, and you've got just to choose when to use their moves.
Yeah, they kind of search out the next enemy like spawn area, don't they?
They do it automatically. Yeah.
Yeah, you can make their moves, or you could just set it to auto, and they'll auto fight. Which kind of takes the fun out of it.
Takes the point out of it. So
yeah.
It's supposed to be a game, isn't it? It's supposed to play it, not just watch it.
Sometimes I'm just like, oh, just let them do their thing. And then there's other times where I'm like, oh, hang on, this enemy's quite difficult. I think I might control their moves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good game.
It was fun until I got to the more later levels through. And you get like electrodes and things that you have to battle.
Yeah,
and they've got like explosion as one of their moves,
and it knocks you out.
It just knocks you out at one hit, and it's like, oh my god, this is ridiculous.
So do the executes. I was just like, god damn it, stop exploding!
Yeah. It's just so frustrating. It's like the worst. It's the worst game I think I've played on the Switch for a while.
Thing is, you've got to remember, it is free. There is in-game content you can buy. But
it is a mobile game, right, by the essence. But it's just there's no gameplay.
For it being free, that's fine. But for the actual to keep you gripped content, I must admit it does at times. There's like a day where I'll be like, do you know what? It doesn't matter if I didn't play it. It's a shame. But I mean, the game itself is still fun because I want to get the Pokemon I want.
I hate it, and I don't want. I just keep playing it, and I don't know why. So
just stop.
I just I just want to finish it now and get rid of it quick as possible.
What's your team, Jack?
At the moment, I have got a Onyx, a Magma, and whatever is the boosted type for the whatever the boost is. Because at the moment, I'm sort of on the Psychic and Electric ones. They need a bit to boost their things up. So I've just got a Raichu, which is useful.
Ah, nice.
But I've also got I've got lots of weak Pokemon at the moment. They need to level up, and it just takes ages to do. It's so frustrating. Same. And the whole powering up your Pokemon is done slightly different in this game. You get like these little square things to put on. They're either like health or attack.
Yeah.
And each Pokemon's got a different amount of slots you can fit in to each one. And they build up as you go along, but it takes so long to them to unlock another one and power it up. You collect one or two every sort of stage. It's really frustratingly slow.
It is frustratingly slow. Plus, it works on like an hourly recharge system. So you only can do it so many times, and you go like, oh, okay, the battery's dead. I better go do something else.
Oh, yeah, that is the worst part. You've only got like five goes on each level because the battery just dies and you've got half.
Especially if you fail because you don't get much for it and you lose everything you collected, which is an even bigger assault.
Which is frustrating.
Yes, but I've got Pidgeot, Arcanine, and a Dragonair at the moment. So I'm going for that. I'm going for that Dragonite. I won the Dragonite. It's like it's like level 50 something. I got for evolution. I'm like, how many?
I did have a shiny Onyx, but I accidentally killed it and got rid of it. So
how did you get rid of a shiny Onyx?
Well, I was leveling stuff up, and it was like a lower level than everything else. And I didn't realise it was the shiny one, and I accidentally got rid of it. Whenever you level things up, you can use certain Pokemon to level up with, but if you use them, they disappear off your party.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, oops, didn't know that. When I did that, so I thought they would just train up and get like points for it or something, but it didn't.
Shiny Onyx, no.
So, never mind. Anyway, any other games, Sam? Let's move away from Pokemon Quest as quick as possible.
Right. I've been playing. I actually went to an event up in Birmingham, and it's like loads of gaming stuff. And there was a tournament for Super Smash Brothers.
Which one?
The one on the Wii U.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I'll give this a go. And the rules, it was like you had so many lives, and then if you won, you kept all your lives. If you came second, you lost one life. If you came third, you lost two. And then you came fourth, you lost three. It was exceptionally difficult. There's about 45 to 50 people in this tournament.
Wow.
And this, there was like a friendly one, and then there was like some pros who were playing in a separate one, and they were like, okay, so the top four who get through get to play the pros, and if you beat the pro, then you take the pro's place tomorrow. So basically I started playing. I wasn't doing too bad. I think it went on for about six rounds.
Oh, that's not bad.
There were so many people. Some people went out quick. Some people took a bit longer. There were people who just like didn't lose any lives and were really good. I managed to make it all the way through. And I got to the top four.
Wee.
Oh, wow.
I played Link the whole way through. I didn't change the character at all. I was like, I'm sticking with my guns. I'm playing Link. He's versatile, short and long range combat. So I was like, see how it goes. Got to the top four. And then they were like, okay, you're going to play against the pro. And I was literally, I was shaking and sweating buckets. I was like, oh my God, this is terrifying. So I was like, the guy was absolute legend. He was so nice.
Do you know who it was?
I don't know who it was, no. Oh, okay. You could tell he was a really good player. I stuck with Link. He went with...
You're Luigi God. Now, aren't you?
No, Fire Emblem
that's
character.
All right. That's all right.
The newest one.
Oh, What guy with the white hair?
Yeah.
Matt, who is it? The guy with the white hair in Smash.
And Fire Emblem.
What about which one?
The one that turns into dragon.
Corrin, yeah.
It's Corrin. I keep forgetting. So yeah, I went up against him and he played Corrin. He thrashed me. I managed to take one of his lives, but it's only because he'd already knocked me out once and then took me down on the side using one of his lives. I was just like, rip. Damn it.
His disrespect.
He was a super good sport, and I was just... he was like, before I went to go off, he goes, I expect you to win. I'm like, okay, sure. And then the four of us, I found out all four of us didn't beat any of the pros. So it was just like, But we all faced off. The last match was 2 stock, 5 minutes. To have a bit of fun, they put items on, but it was a flat... it was a flat surface level, and I literally got two of them out, and it was just me and one other guy, and I was like, oh my god, oh my god. I managed to get... Do you know the items where you drop the three separate items to make up one big item? Because you've got the Kirby airship or the orange cannon.
The gun thing, yeah.
Like, literally... two of the three pieces were right behind me, and I had the other piece, and he had thrown a bot like a mine, and I was like, I gotta try and pick this up without touching the mine.
Got
it, picked it up, fired the cannon, and I literally knocked him out. It was so tense,
epic.
But I came first. It was amazing. It was
good
terrifying
job, man.
Yeah, it was good fun. Well, I had done. A really good time. So that
represent.
Was yeah, I was going to say. I was like, yeah. But at the same time, I was just like, I'm super nervous. Everybody's looking at me. And then the other game I've been playing, and I can actually talk about this because I've been playing it on Steam, but I got it for my Switch as well because it's a fun game. It's called Wizard of Legend. It's an indie game.
Wizard of Legend.
It's a really, really good game. The story at the start is a bit, but it's a bit cheesy. It's like, and it doesn't have much backstory. It's just like you're this guy in a cloak who enters this museum, which is all about wizards and the history and like, oh, wizards wear cloaks and they have arcana and they. Use spells and fight in this big tournament called the Trials of Chaos. And you then get, after like going through the museum and stuff, you actually get to like try out some of the spells and things. You get teleported like to this sort of mythical realm, and you get to go compete in the Chaos Trials. And you start off with some simple spells, and when you go in, you collect like gemstones, and then you get like coins to spend on like relics, which boost you like booster items, and you can buy like spells in the dungeon. But the gem, if you lose, you come back out with the gems, and you can spend those on permanent spells to keep. So you can change your roster, so you have like. Fire, ice, like earth and nature, wind, electricity, and they all have like different styles and types. It's a really good game. You can buy like cloaks to boost your stats. You can buy other relics to like have different effects. It's not just like offensive and defensive, like miscellaneous ones as well. So, and there's some like silly, funny ones in there as well, which makes the game interesting. And like
it kind of I'm just watching the video on the Switch store now, and it basically sort of reminds me of sort of Zelda style with like just like a beat 'em up kind of thing. It's really kind of
it's a very mixed, 8-bit style down like dungeon crawling explorer game, and you have to beat the three main people of the Chaos Trials. One's of ice, one's of fire, and one's of earth and nature, and they get more difficult as you go further into the dungeon. It is like exceptionally good, and I would say very well thought out game, and it makes you want to go back again if you fail and try and get further, and trying different spells and combinations, and like it's I would definitely recommend it. I think it's like £12 to £15.
£13.99.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I thought it was around about that mark. I would definitely recommend it. I'd say give it a go. It's good fun. It's a nice little game. You can put it down, pick it back up again, and not feel like you're too out of the loop.
Has it got multiplayer as well? I saw two players run
about.
It has
two player. Yes, it does. Very good. It is. Cool. I've tried it with my other half, and it can get a little hectic, especially where it's sharing the screen. But once you both get a general gist for it, it is really, really good fun. I definitely would recommend it. It is a brilliant game. I hope they expand on it, because they've only done three elements for the main bosses. Well, four technically, but I won't spoil it. But there's still like the wind one, an electric one, that they could do as well to make it like a little bit longer. But I'd say get it. It's a very good, very fun game.
Cool. Sounds good.
Right. Monsieur Jack, as you're the last, please.
Monsieur. What I'm going to do, I'm only going to talk about one of the games here of the other two I was going to mention. That is Fallout Shelter.
Oh.
Which was announced in the Bethesda conference, basically, during E3. Fallout Shelter is another mobile game, which we just talked about, one which I didn't really like before. Fallout Shelter is pretty similar in a way, to be honest. What you do is you basically build your own Fallout Shelter, but you got to basically build each individual room, and then you drag in people from the outside world to come and live in your shelter. And it's sort of like a management game of that sort of aspect, where you've got to manage the electricity, the food, and the water that is in within your shelter. But at the same time, you've got to manage the people in it and what they need and what they want to do. As you level up through the game, and you get each of your little human beings you have in your shelter level up as well, they get better abilities and they get better at doing certain tasks. So if you build a power station to generate more electricity, for example, some of your characters might be, you'll need to put them in that power station to generate power. But as it gets further and further through the game, you need better skilled characters to be able to do that for you, so that there's less fires and less random raids and things that happen in the game. In general, it's a free game. Again, it is a mobile game, but it's quite a fun little thing to give a bit of a go on. You send out your best humans into the wastelands, and they go and explore for you and go and fight lots of horrible monsters and stuff. But there's also like missions you've got to take on from that, where you've got to go find places in the Fallout universe, and they've got to do like a mission there. So for example, there's like a supermarket one. You've got to go in the supermarket and basically raid this whole building. But you could choose up to three characters to take with you, and you can equip them with weapons, armor, whether you want to give them stim packs, which is like health regain stuff, and rad away, which is something to stop radiation within the Fallout universe. And you take all them, take over these missions, and basically you control where the characters are going and how they are in each of the areas. It's quite in depth for such a basic game, to be fair. But it's for a little bit of a bit of fun to watch and enjoy for a couple of minutes every now and then. It's quite a good fun game, and I recommend picking it up for free, especially if you're interested in the Fallout game series and you've never played it. It's worth looking at. But yeah, Fallout Shelter is available now, and it's free, so go get it.
Oh, very nice.
I'll leave the other game for a minute, because it's quite in the middle of the E3 stuff from Nintendo, so yeah, we'll do that in a minute. Cool. Shall we move on, guys?
Let's head into our big topic.
big topic.
So that's our introduction now, for every big topic going forward.
Good.
Yeah, so this is our big discussion on Nintendo's E3 2018. I think, outside of Nintendo, I think just quite fair E3 2018. I always like seeing people's reactions and all the memes and stuff, you know, and of course the games. Personally, I think Xbox had the best conference, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I agree.
That's been the general census, I believe. I just think they had like good presentation, and they had the games, and no other presentation, including Nintendo, to be honest, really matched that.
I don't know. I think Bethesda's was quite good as well, to be fair. They showed off quite a lot in theirs. But to be honest, the Xbox One, they showed lots of games. But of the 50 they showed off, only 18 was exclusive to Xbox. And some of them were mobile games. So.
That is a fair problem, to be fair. But even then, just judging by the conference itself, you know, I think they still had like the better conference compared to
the
other place.
The way it was displayed and showed off and everything, there was literally game, 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 game for ages, and then they had a bit of Ubisoft
time,
had,
you know.
had, had things like the Division in there, and it just took over for too long. But yeah, really good conference. But to be fair, I think Sony's, I actually rewatched Sony's one today, and I thought that was actually a really good conference themselves, because it was quite unique the way they did it.
I think we were talking about this earlier, weren't we?
Well, me and Sam were actually talking about this, and I was just going on, oh, you didn't hear. Because I think whilst... I don't think that idea worked for them in execution. Because especially, like, as a fan, or a viewer, rather, when changing between the scenes, they just had them just talking between themselves for like 15 minutes. And it's like, you don't really do that during an E3 conference.
No,
you know?
That's true.
You don't do interviews. And the second game only came on within like after the first half an hour, where we only saw one game.
Yeah.
But before we go
to Nintendo then,
yeah.
What was the best thing you saw other than Nintendo at E3?
That's quite hard, really. There's a fair amount of stuff I would be interested in, like Spider-Man and stuff.
I think Spider-Man looks glorious.
Yeah. But the one that got me quite excited was Jump Force, which seems to be a new J-Stars sort of deal.
Okay.
So I don't think it will be like that interesting in terms of gameplay.
Oh, that's
but...
the...
Yeah,
the
yeah, the
with
anime fighter, yeah.
All the anime fighter. Yeah, that did look really cool, actually. The fact they put all of them into one game rather than separate.
Yeah, I think aesthetically, it looks glorious. And I was really excited to see Light and Ryuk from Death Note, which is one of my first anime.
Yeah, people were really confused about that.
Yeah, because I
had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea who it was.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see who gets in the roster. I'm really hoping for some My Hero Academia representation, because that series is coming like up massively right now. So it'd be a shame to have them not appear in any way. But yeah, what about you guys then?
I mean, Gears of War pop figures one obviously was the best one they showed off by far. I mean. Really, I couldn't believe that was even a game. It was just crazy. But I suppose if you collect those sort of things, you're going to be interested in the game around it. But I don't understand why it was just Gears. Surely they could do like a whole universe of all the characters they've ever made. That'd be amazing. I agree with Matt that the Xbox is probably the best conference there in terms of how they displayed it and how there's loads of games coming in all the time. I actually really did like the Bethesda conference altogether, and I think the new Fallout that's coming for like all multiplayer Fallout is going to be a very interesting game. I can understand the same time we're all a bit wary of it because of how Elder Scrolls Online was really awful at the start, but they seem to be developing that into something now. So hopefully, if they've learned their lessons from that, they can use that for a multiplayer Fallout game. I'm just a little bit worried it's going to take us out of the universe a little bit, the fact that the whole thing about Fallout is being in that one area on your own and being scared shitless the whole time. So I think if you're with a group of people, I don't think you'll quite get that same feeling, you know. But yeah, that's probably the one I'm most looking forward to, and like stuff like Doom and Wolfenstein 2 coming to Switch as well is interesting, so I might pick that one up. Sam?
Well, it's kind of a positive and a negative. For me, it's that they finally gave us a release date for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, yes. What did I think about that?
I am happy that it's finally a date. I'm just a bit annoyed that it's taken so long to get to this point. Because a game shouldn't... I can appreciate a game needs to take time and be right the first time and they need to fix things. But does it really, really need to take this long? It's like your consumers and your players are going to start losing interest if it takes too long between different releases of a game. And I think they've taken just a tiny bit too long. The people who are real diehard fans will be like, finally, and they'll look forward to it. Some people are just like, sod it, you took too long, you've lost my interest, I'm not going to buy your game. I've heard all sorts of things, really.
I'm excited that Kingdom Hearts is finally, 3 is finally coming to PlayStation, Xbox. I'm annoyed it didn't come to Switch. But at the same time, I'm happy I can play it on the Xbox and don't have to go buy PS4 to go and play it.
Mine blooming broke, so I'm just like,
it did, didn't it? I forgot about that. Oh man,
I won't be playing it. I'm not buying another PS4 just to play one game.
I'll lend you my Xbox after I finish it.
It's fine, it's no problem. My brother will probably get it knowing my luck, so I have to just swipe his or something.
Swipe his and he's not looking, yeah. we got the Pirates was announced in the PS4 showcase. Pirates of the Caribbean coming back. We've got a Frozen World for that, which was like, okay. Tangled, which actually looks really good, to be fair, in terms of actual visuals. Monsters Inc., Toy Story, Wreck-It Ralph. So it's all like the Pixar stuff. There's nothing like from the old Disney stuff.
I think
basically all the decent films.
Yeah, I guess. But I am interested in Wreck-It Ralph, though. They could put any like video game character they wanted into that.
Wreck-It Ralph isn't actually a world. It's like a summon sort of deal.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's so disappointing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the Wreck-It Ralph.
So Wreck-It Ralph is someone, I think, one of the lions from Lion King, isn't it? And I think Ariel as well is also a summon.
Yeah.
I think the
Remy from Ratatouille as well.
I'm not sure if he's a summon, but I think
he is a summon. Yeah. He wasn't clear what he did. They were cooking something, but
that may be a mini game then.
Maybe.
Because it's not in a battle.
Well, I don't know if it was just like a healing thing, a summon healing thing, but who knows?
As someone who grew up with Monsters Inc., I'm just really excited for the Monsters Inc. world.
Oh, Goofy looks horrible though.
Yeah, he does look a bit terrified.
They're supposed to be monsters.
I was a bit like, what?
Yeah, but there's monsters and there's just like abominations, and I think Goofy's the abomination.
To be fair, I'm fine with the delay, because that Pirates of the Caribbean world looks absolutely gorgeous. Especially in comparison to other worlds in the game, it just looks unreal.
I'm a big Pirates of the Caribbean fan, so I was like, yes!
That's cool.
So,
Nintendo podcast.
Anyway, going back to Nintendo, Okay, so are we saving Smash Brothers for Dead Last?
We're saving for Dead
Spoilers.
Last.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I think
not
at
this
point,
game everyone's been
it's
talking
not a
about.
secret.
yeah, so shall we go over, like, our what... So our initial thoughts of the Nintendo Direct E3 2018.
Yeah.
Okay. Smash Brothers Ultimate, which had a hefty amount of time, was glorious, and I think from extended footage at the invitation run during the Treehouse, I think this is going to be the Smash game of my dreams. We'll get into that in
it's
a bit later.
Everybody's
but,
dreams,
yeah,
really.
Pretty much. But aside from that, I think this is a really weak E3 for them, to be honest.
Yeah.
We'll get into. I just don't think they had. Like last year, you had. You had Metroid Prime 4, you know. You got the announcement that a Pokemon Switch game is coming, like a proper RPG is coming. You got Kirby, you got Yoshi, you know. You got all those. You got a fair amount of surprises, whereas this year, the only truly surprising thing that actually caught me by surprise was, was Super Mario Party.
Which
the
is
first
excellent.
Mecha game. It looks alright, but even then, I was kind of lukewarm in it. Anyway, we'll get into the games, but I think they should have either teased at least something more with Metroid Prime 4, because I think it was kind of a bit of the kick in the balls to show it last year, but then not show anything this year.
But they showed a title, and that was it.
Yeah, but like they still announced it. Yeah, but now they're not showing anything. They said that it's like, oh, we'll show it when it's ready. And it's like, yeah, but I guess they did have to show it last year just to, you know,
keep the Metroid fans happy.
Especially with Samus Returns, because I would have wanted a Switch title instead of a 3DS title. But you know, it feels a bit. And of course, the big one that everyone is coming for is Animal Crossing. I think we'll get that.
Yeah,
when
everyone,
we get that.
All those people doing those rituals to try and get Animal Crossing to
exactly.
appear again—it just didn't
oh,
happen.
Oh yeah.
Again. Oh man.
All the Animal Crossing amiibo cards and figurines.
Yeah. That. All that being said, even though I was quite disappointed outside of Smash, I think Nintendo are still sorted for this year. I don't get why people are saying, oh, Nintendo's doomed. I don't get why people... why the stock is failing, because Pokemon and Smash Bros. Are going to be already so big by themselves.
Yeah, this is true.
Although
that's
I am
literally what I was going to say.
I am a bit gutted that like Smash did miss the Black Friday market by just a smidge, but it may still go over quite well. Anyway, so those are my general thoughts.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, half this we sort of knew of, and some of it we didn't know of.
Yeah.
But it's the problem with what Nintendo do compared to the other companies is that they normally put out three or four different directs throughout the year, so there's always something big in these sections all the time. And the thing with this is all these games that were announced were within the next like 4 to 5, well, up to 5 months kind of thing. So the fact that lots of them have said like, oh, there's no Metroid, there's no Yoshi, it's because they haven't got, it isn't ready, it's not going to be coming out until next year. So what's the point of announcing it again and saying, getting everyone excited when it's going to be out in 2019, December? It's just, there's no point, you know, I just don't understand the point of it. And, you know, I can understand the frustrations with people with games they wanted to see which didn't appear, and that's fair enough. But at the same time, I'm quite happy with the Eevee Pikachu Pokemon game because I quite enjoy Pokemon Go and it's quite similar. I mean, Mario Party, I think, is the best news that they've got rid of that stupid cart ever.
Yeah.
That we've all got our own single characters. The problem is, from some of the gameplay parts, I've seen quite a lot of similarities to the 3DS games, and I'm a bit worried that they're going to go too short again in terms of like each map kind of thing. But they did say within the Treehouse Live that the like turns and things you can set to your own turns amount. So I was quite happy with that. We could put it up to a higher amount if required and things.
Nice.
But overall, it's yeah, I think I was quite happy, to be honest. I know a lot of people were frustrated with it, and seemed like, oh, I didn't get what I wanted and there weren't enough there. But we know there's going to be another Direct by October, November anyway, don't we? So I'm not really that fussed about it, if I'm honest. So,
you guys have pretty much summed up and covered everything I want to say, really. I think, like, there's probably bits where I was like, okay, we didn't know about this, or there were bits where I was like, I kind of glazed over and I was like, next thing, move on quickly, better stuff. But yeah, the Smash stuff, I think, I don't know how I could speak for everyone, but it has got me quite hyped. I am looking forward to it, and with a release date as well, it's like, oh, so good, must have. Need. So yeah, no, it's looking good. It's looking very good.
Shall we go through the games?
Yes.
That was shown up.
So they, I think they opened on the weird note. They showed off Daemon X Machina, which seems to be a mecha fighting, not fighting game, but an action game.
I heard this was a spiritual successor to Armored Core, which was a random PlayStation game with the same sort of aspect, but it was a lot smaller.
I haven't heard of anything. But then again, I haven't really seen much of it.
I must admit, I'm saying.
I don't know. It looks nice graphically.
I would
really
describe
like the style.
It as No More Heroes visuals. Transformers, like fighting style, Gundam style fighting. It looks really good.
Visually, it was quite good, and there was quite a lot of large areas and things to fight in and stuff, which was pretty cool. I just don't know how much more was to the game. You know, maybe it's something we need to look into a bit more then to decide how, if we're interested in this or not. But yeah. I think maybe it was a bit weird where they placed it right at the start. Though I'm with Matt. Maybe it's one of those ones they could have chucked in the middle with some of the other games that were announced. Like
maybe
from those.
I don't know. I do need to catch up on the Treehouse showing of that just to get a better idea of what it's going to be like.
Mm. Yes, but that's in between all the parts of Smash they showed.
We
jump into Mario Party? Super Mario Party?
Yes. Mario Party! Yay!
Oh, God. I'm so happy. I'm just so happy this is actually a thing.
Where do we begin? Oh,
no more Mario stupid Party. Car! I could keep saying it again and again. No more stupid car.
Well,
which you have
first
to sit
of all, they've not used a number. They got to 10. And they were like, do you know, let's stop the nonsense of the numbers. Let's go. But let's call it something different.
Super. Ultra.
We're gonna start going up that avenue.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's it. Yeah. Hyper. Jeez. Ultra. Super. Mega. Turbo. Street Fighter, Mario Party, Championship Edition, that's it, yeah.
But it looks stunning. It looks so much fun, how it should be. Because I think people have always complained, like, ever since they started trying it a bit different with all the carts and stuff, it was like, yeah, this doesn't feel Mario Party-ish anymore.
It doesn't feel like a board game when it's in the car kind of thing. You're always sort of on... all going in the same sort of distance, I think.
It's the
reason they gave about the cart originally is the fact they were worried that there would be too many players sitting around doing nothing at the time, and they wanted to know whether being in the cart actually helps, because they have to watch the screen and see what happens. But I think that's a bit of a lame excuse, if I'm honest, because I think it don't matter what, you want to see what the next player's going to do on their turn at the same time, don't you? Mm. See if they get an extra star, or if they get... they steal some coins of someone or something like that. So I kind of understand what they're trying to say, but it just wasn't, it was a bit of a lame excuse in my opinion. So.
Yeah, it was just not really good enough. But I mean, like, from what we saw, there was those that, like, some of the dice rolls and things as well. It's like, even with some of just the trailers, you could see like some dice blocks had noughts, had tens, had coins on them as well, I noticed.
There's different dice blocks per character. They've got different abilities, apparently.
From kind of like what we had on the DS one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And there's a lot of DS-like abilities that have been added to this game. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing.
But... I think it'll keep it interesting, because it'll make you think twice about which character you choose.
They did show off a team mode in the Treehouse Live events as well. You had like 2v2, but you all had like a separate character on the board. But you sort of shared the dice rolls. So if you have one character hit a 5 and I was to hit a 6, for example, you'd have 11 each. But you'd have 11 moves kind of thing between both of you. So it's got an interesting sort of tactic sort of thing to it. But I'm a bit worried that it'll make it go a bit too quickly kind of thing. I like the slow pace of going around the board in Mario Party. I don't know why. That's always been my sort of thing with it. But I think some of the games, they get a bit too rushed because they want you to get through it a lot quicker. But I like the slower paced game of Mario Party. Definitely like the older games.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Some of the mini games were shown off on the Treehouse as well. I couldn't really tell you at this time what they were, because there's so many different things that were going on in that game.
I think one thing we can pick up on, though, and even it was in the trailer, was the having two switches and then putting the consoles next to each other and then linking them. I thought was incredible. I was like, that's so cool. I mean, yeah, you need to have two switches, but it was like, that's such a cool idea. And
my first question with this is, how many switches does it work with? Is it just two, or can you do more?
Well, considering most of the games are just four player, I'd probably say it only got up to two switches.
This was the other question, because surely you could go up to eight player, because most Switch games can go up to eight player.
True.
That would be interesting.
It might be a new format for Mario Party, eight player. But imagine trying to have an eight. I'm guessing they're probably just like mini games, like they used to have in some of the other ones.
Speaking of mini games,
yes,
there is an online mode for the first time.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, what?
The thing with this that I see. That I worry about is that it's only mini games, though. Which I feel is kind of like, I don't know. It's good that there's online play, but I think, especially if you want to play with friends online, I think people would want to play on the board games as well. You know, it
problem is trying to hold four people connected online. For that long, I don't see that happening.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just a bit.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's an interesting concept. It's just a case of it's that because of the length of it, it might not hold.
I see
hold.
Your point, but it's like that's still kind of a bummer, though. You have to admit.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, but. You know, I think it's gonna be okay. I'm not the biggest Mario Party guy, but I'm glad that it's returning to actual boards.
We didn't mention the characters that was shown off as well.
Oh yeah, but really Bowser's a playable character.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I'm more excited.
I'm quite happy, but like I remember, like when I did play Mario Party, I did like the Bowser spaces. So I wonder how they're going to do stuff like that.
Yeah. No, it would be interesting. Maybe they just create like negative spaces.
I am definitely going to be playing as Goomba the whole time I play Mario Party.
Oh, of course you are. Because
he was so cute on that little tricycle thing.
Just little pedals at his feet.
His face was so smiley. He was winning and happy. It was great.
I think people like Diddy Kong are going to be playable, which is quite cool.
Ooh, nice.
That'd be
cool. Yeah. But it's got to be standard Waluigi, surely.
Oh, he must be in, you know.
He must be, surely.
He must be in everything with multiple characters in, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's in it.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is here.
Yeah. Playable, you mean, Matt, don't you? Playable.
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
So, Dragon Ball FighterZ. This was leaked a fair while ago, but nevertheless, I'm happy to see it confirmed and coming to Switch, because a lot of people did want this.
Yeah, I mean, it could do with a good fighter game, and Dragon Ball is good for that.
It's a great game, definitely. And apparently the fight stick for Switch has been really, really good from what the feedback from professional players. So that's interesting to find out and see if it will play well on there. But yeah, cool. We're quite happy with that. More, please. Did we see if this multi-anime fighter, is that coming to Switch, do we know? Did anyone see that?
Multi-anime fighter?
Yeah, the one with all of them in it.
Dragon Ball, think it is.
One Piece and Naruto. Jump Force, that's the one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's coming to Switch. I think apparently it was already pushing the PS4 to its limits.
Oh, wow. Oh,
wow.
So, I'm not expecting it on Switch anytime soon, which I'm not too bothered about, personally.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay.
But Dragon Ball FighterZ is a beautiful looking game, and it's definitely going to be pretty cool to play that on the go, definitely. So. Cool. Here's a map part. So, Xenoblade Chronicles DLC was announced within
the Xenoblades.
The Torna expansion, I believe.
Bless you.
Let me see.
I was hoping you'd have it all right and ready there, Matt, and you could tell us all about it.
Yeah, Matt. Oh, God.
So unprepared. Right. Oh.
The Golden Country expansion.
That's it.
Yeah, so this looks cool. I, of course, I loved Xenoblade Chronicles 2. But this seems above and beyond just typical DLC. So this tells the story 500 years before the current events.
Right.
So it's a prequel story. Evolves the previous wielder of the Aegis Blade, Adam, as well as Jin and some other major characters that you've already met. Yeah, it looks fun. I think it's releasing on my birthday, which is going to be quite a nice gift to myself, hopefully. I don't know. It looks really interesting as someone who loved the characters and the story of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I am really looking forward to this. So, and I may even pick up the season pass, because of course there's been a lot of stuff added via other DLC. For example, one is the this advanced battle mode that allows you to play with Shulk and Fiora, who are characters from Xenoblade Chronicles 1, and they look awesome in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I really like their design and the models used in game. That's Xenoblade Chronicles 2 DLC. I'm not sure of the price, because the thing is, I believe it's getting its own standalone physical release.
Right, okay.
So that shows how big it is. It's supposed to be, I think, about 25 to 30 hours.
Wow.
And considering that the main game took me about 65 hours, that's pretty good for additional DLC. I'd have to check on the season pass. I might check that now, actually.
So basically we're saying rip everyone's memory storage on Switch.
Pretty much.
It's going to go through the floor.
It's £25, which, to be fair, isn't that bad.
Not too bad.
For that
Not too bad.
Story DLC as a whole. Before we get onto this, I actually... speaking of DLC, if I may just add on the Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle Donkey Kong Adventure DLC.
Yes.
This looks really good. We already talked about this on the previous episode, but at Ubisoft's conference, Grant Kirkhope came on to conduct a really nice session of music.
Yes.
And it sounds glorious. I really want to get it just for the Donkey Kong theme rendition alone.
He does do good music, though. That's the thing.
He did really good versions of classic Mario tracks, Mario Rabbids. And I believe the campaign is going to be about 10 hours. And if you want to buy that standalone, that's only going to be 10 quid, which is actually not a bad deal.
Cool.
Or add-on, that's
good price.
Good. Yeah.
Good price.
Nice. Anyway, that's all I had to say about that. And it's launching quite soon, next Tuesday. Which is going to be nice.
Wow, that rolled around fast.
Right. I believe you can get a double pack as well. There's like a gold version, which is going to have all the DLC with it.
So if you didn't pick up Mario & Rabbids already, then wait until the gold edition, because that's going to come with all the DLC. Personally, I can't be bothered for the other DLC, but I am quite interested in the Donkey Kong Adventure pack.
And Rabbit Donkey Kong features as well, apparently. So
yes.
Yay!
Nice.
Moving on, the Pokemon Let's Go games. My opinions haven't really changed about it that much. So if you two want to... Well, Sam, we didn't hear about your opinions on it last episode, so do you make of it?
I think I know what version Sam will be picking up.
Yeah. I'm so predictable. From my understanding, because I haven't... Sometimes I don't look at things because I don't want to spoil it for myself. But it's essentially just the first Pokemon rebooted, almost.
Yes, basically, with lots of features from Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I remember seeing that as well. That much I've picked up on. And I don't know. I mean, graphically, it looks brilliant.
It looks stunning, yeah.
It looks really good. It's like...
The first proper HD main series Pokemon game is the best thing I can take away from this at the moment.
I think a lot of people, from what I've seen, are going to boycott getting the Pikachu one and actually get Eevee.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I said this to my friend. She was like, oh yeah, people are going to, like, in a Twitter poll, it's like, oh, people are going to get Eevee instead of Pikachu. And I'm like, but why? Like, I'm guessing...
You got more options with Eevee, didn't you?
Yeah, that's true. I want Eevee because I like Eevee, but...
If you're talking about evolution, so that's been deconfirmed because you can't actually evolve Pikachu or Eevee?
What?
Yeah.
It's because you'd lose the whole feature of having your Pokemon with you and stuff, but...
Oh, that's stupid.
It's probably going to be a selection of different Pokemon... Which, again, I'm saddened that it's only Kanto Pokemon in the main game.
He's going straight in the box then.
But it gives you a sense of realism of gotta capture them all. It's like you can actually catch them all. Plus, like, the whole Pokemon following thing is awesome, and it's back again, yes!
I think you can actually catch the... A second Pikachu or Eevee to evolve, from what I was reading, but
yeah. But it's the fact that, like, Pokemon following is back again. Oh god, I've missed out Gold and Soul Silver's features.
Oh man, definitely. What did you think of the Pokeball controller, Sam? Do you see this?
Don't know how I feel.
It's yet another attachment to take from another Pokemon game where you can take something on the go with you. They've seriously had about 10 to 12 different attachments now for previous games, I swear.
Yeah, it's crazy. I tend to get a bit iffy about attachments. They just become very obsolete very fast, and it's mixed opinions on that.
I think, but
if you want a Mew...
Yes.
Yeah,
you've got to have one.
I know. So just to buy an attachment for one Pokemon.
Exactly.
Yeah. As cool as it is.
That's just... It's just a really sneaky way of being like, oh, you've got to buy this now if you want to complete your Pokedex.
Yeah. It's annoying, isn't it?
Unless you get someone who does and then, please trade me Mew.
Or if they let you, depending on how it features work with Pokemon Go, just transfer a Mew over from Pokemon Go if you've got
Wasn't
one.
Wasn't that really hard to get, though?
No, it's, it, you basically, you've got to do research tasks in Pokemon Go now, and there's a special research task to unlock Mew. It's quite difficult to do, but it's, you can do it. It's not overly hard.
People wonder why I stopped playing Pokemon Go.
One of the research tasks is... I'm still playing. One of the research tasks is to evolve a Magikarp, and you need 400 candies to evolve a Magikarp. So
probably about halfway there when I left that. I was like, nope, not doing it anymore.
There we go. Cool. So, fairly happy about Pokemon.
Yeah, I'd probably say I get it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get the Eevee one as well, to be honest, probably.
Eevee!
I'm Team Pikachu myself.
Team Pikachu, wow.
Yes.
It's because I'm like the rival, and I'm like the cool dudes, whereas you're like Ash and the rubbish one. Wow. Cool.
Doesn't the main guy beat the rival, though?
Yeah, but...
Case closed. Done. Moving on. Anyway,
doesn't the rival win first? Become Pokemon champion first, you know?
Yeah, but he doesn't beat you to become Pokemon champion.
No. What? Anyway, let's move on.
Yes. Overcooked 2. Quite nice to see announced, even though it was leaked as well. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit indifferent personally. I haven't played it yet.
I think based on the previous one, it's a good game, and with this, they'll be able to add more to it. I don't know.
It's definitely better. It's a multiplayer game by chance, basically. It's definitely built for that. And the first game was so frantic that it's worth a look if you've not picked it up yet. But I just like this trailer because there were zombie toast bread things, and that just made me laugh. So
Zombie toast bread things?
Yeah, it was like it was either bread or toast, and they come out of the grave and it's toast. They're like, and it was really weird. So I thought I'd just mention it. So yeah.
That's a breakfast that's going to make you want to get out of bed.
Zombie breakfast.
Yeah, like, oh, shit, run!
How that works in game, I don't know. So interesting to find out.
It will be, yes. What's this next one?
Killer Queen Black, which is this sort of a new installment in this arcade game series. I'm not too sure myself of this one.
It was like a one screen like battler kind of thing is the best way I can sort of describe it. Kind of like Duck Game in a way, in the way it's displayed, if you've ever played that. I know Sam's played it. It's sort of like that in display, but it was more like encased in one sort of level kind of thing. You couldn't escape from outside or anything, and there was lots of fast paced attacks going on and things. It looked interesting. I'm not sure whether I'll pick it up or not, but it did look interesting. So that's as much as I can give on that at the moment. So I'm afraid. So. Hollow Knight was also shown off in the direct. Have either of you two played Hollow Knight before?
I've not played it, though I have watched a few videos on it, and it is truly quite a clever game, very beautiful as well, both visually and musically.
Yeah, it's on the eShop right now, so if anyone did want to pick it up, go check it out right now. It literally got announced and then put on the store straight away. So very sort of dark in the way it was displayed, but it's a very cutesy sort of game.
Yeah, it can be quite cutesy. It does have like a slightly, I wouldn't say morbid, but very dark and brooding kind of atmosphere. But it is very good. It is exceptionally good.
Cool. So,
Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, the Square Enix game. It's finally got a release date.
And it's still called Octopath Traveler.
It's still called Octopath Traveler. It's not a what do you call it game now? It's not like a project thing. It's just Octopath Traveler. they listed some of the jobs in game which the characters can take on, and there's something like 20 different jobs, and you can take two for each character. And I think it's random, whatever one you pick, kind of thing. It doesn't matter what character has it. So that's an interesting part to that you can develop characters in different ways as you go through the game. Mm. We've got a release date as well, July 13th, 2018. So at least it's not only a month away, which is pretty cool. I'm probably going to pick this up. It's very sort of, it reminds me of like the traditional old school Final Fantasy sort of games and like the 2D sort of plane sort of ones. And it was a very beautiful sort of game. And there's a demo has been updated and it's got a new demo now, which you can start playing it and you can level up characters and take them into the full release of the game. So it's worth picking up the demo and giving it a go and see what you think. And if you do still feel interested, you can chuck them over into the full game once you get it. So that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, most Square Enix games don't disappoint generally. I mean, depends on your viewpoints and stuff. But I mean, it looks to be a really good game and quite a different take on how normal like RPGs like that work.
The best way to describe it is like a HD 2D plane where the worlds are made out of like a HD world, but all the characters and the enemies are made out of 2D pixels kind of thing. So it's an interesting looking game. Very sort of golden sun looking in battles and things like that as well. So it does sort of give that sort of aspect to people if they're into that, those sort of games.
Mm.
But yeah, looking forward to it. Definitely picking up.
I think you should cover this next one, Jack.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I've played a lot of this next game. The next game is Fortnite, which has got release for Nintendo Switch now as well. Basically, Fortnite is 100 players dropped down into a random map.
Are you seriously describing Fortnite?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Everyone knows it.
But not everyone who's got a Nintendo console knows that those map.
Players
just,
you know, on everywhere just else.
I've never touched it. But...
See, Sam doesn't know, so I'm going to explain it for Sam.
You don't know Fortnite.
So, Fortnite, Sam, is a game with 100 players on the map, and you've basically got a fight to be the last one surviving. And that's basically it.
It's a giant sandbox.
A giant sandbox with just lots of like killing and stuff. But the thing with Fortnite that's different to other games of its genre is the fact that you can build any point at any time. You've basically got to collect materials from trees and walls and things like that, and you can build like little forts and things from it. This is why it's Fortnite. Mm. But that aspect of the game is quite in-depth as it gets further on in terms of fighting people who have played a lot more of it kind of thing. The most skilled players can build forts in a matter of seconds. So it's quite crazy. But it acts like a second armor to your characters. Might you get like one extra bullet, might not hit you kind of thing. So it's quite an in-depth way of doing it. But the Fortnite itself has turned into this crazy phenomenon at the moment that everyone's playing it on all the consoles. Unless, of course... It's got cross-play with Xbox and PC.
Oh, good.
Not with PS4.
That's caused a lot of backlash.
Well, yeah. That's Sony's fault for not making it compatible.
Well, what the problem is, though, is if you've made a account with Epic Games on your PS4, you can't transfer that account to the Xbox or the Switch version. So it's locked on the PS4 version.
So Switch and Xbox were able to do it so that you could swap it over or move it over.
Yeah. So basically there's a separate account for Fortnite called Epic Games account. Mm. And that links all your like level ups of your character, and there's also what's called a battle pass, which is like a £20 pass you can get to unlock challenges and different custom parts for your character and things like that.
Mm.
It's that whole part of not being able to take the battle pass from PS4 to other consoles that people are getting annoyed with, I think, rather than the actual leveling up system, because the leveling up system is not exactly amazing. There's nothing much to it. But it does seem very odd that they've actually just blocked them from being able to share that account with other consoles. I think it's very strange.
Mm. It's more of the fact that it's to do with greed and whatnot, really.
Yeah, basically.
So, yeah, so in a way, I'm quite glad that's been blowing up, because hopefully Sony will change their mind and will allow crossplay.
Even if it's just allow the account to go to whatever one you want, so that you can share it between consoles. But, you know, that's fair. I don't understand why they blocked them off from doing that. I mean, crossplay, if you don't want to do that, fine. That's not a problem. But
they just don't want to share
block
with competitors.
Yeah, but they want to keep people playing Fortnite on their console. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But it seems very, very backwards to me to be able to do that.
It's anti-consumer. That's what it is. And I don't think... I think Sony needs to realise that and then fix their problem.
The thing is, if they want to keep people, it would be a case of proving that their console's superior with its processing and its graphic quality content.
It's not that the PS4 can't play on this with multiple consoles, because they did the same with Final Fantasy 14, being able to cross-play with PC.
Yeah, so they did.
It's very odd to me. I don't understand why they held it back, but whatever. Let them figure it out for themselves eventually. I'm sure they will do it.
Yeah, they'll figure out from their bottom line dropping. But that's their fault, really.
Interesting parts of Fortnite on Switch, though. They have you can basically put a headset in and play normally with chat features.
Oh, good.
But why was Splatoon so frustratingly stupid to do? You had to plug it into your phone.
I think that's more... Switch. With the Splatoon 2, I think that's more on the case of, like, Nintendo in general. That's Nintendo's structure doing it, not necessarily just Splatoon 2's.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree. Like, they, you know, Nintendo's way just looks absolutely stupid compared to Fortnite's.
Yeah, I mean,
because it doesn't work well.
If they had the possibility to do that in the first place, why are we connected to our phone? It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous.
Agreed.
And other features of Fortnite, which is another interesting one that featured this week, is there's now a countdown timer for the Switch version. Just the Switch version. None of the other versions have got it yet. But there's apparently some sort of change to the map just for the Switch version coming.
Interesting.
So far they've had four seasons of Fortnite, where every season, which is a couple of months sometimes, maybe 1 month, a couple of months, they've changed something on the map. And the last change, they sent an asteroid into one part of the map and destroyed a whole area.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, interesting to see if they get a Nintendo exclusive part of the map. That would be pretty cool. But we'll see how it goes in the future.
No, actually, that's a stupid question. Don't worry, ignore me.
Okay.
I was going to say, like, what's the point of having cross-play connectivity, but then...
So you can basically play with... you can have four players on talking to each other at the same time, and the fact that you need 100 players to play on one on each server, the more players, the merrier, to be honest, in my opinion, with Fortnite. You can set it just to... the console you're on. So, for instance, if you just wanted Switch players, you can just set just the Switch players. You don't have to play with everyone from other consoles and things. So.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So, next game is all for Matt, because I have
it's all Matt.
Just going on for that, I'm just happy that Fortnite is coming on Switch. You know, that's a big game. It's a good game.
And it's
Switch.
Free.
Yeah, exactly. Although, weirdly enough, I don't believe they launched with the Zombie Survival Mode, which is actually the core game.
It's just the multiplayer, I believe, which is strange.
Which is pretty much the only thing everyone gives a toss about, actually, so...
Yeah.
It doesn't really make much of a difference. Anyway, Fire Emblem Three Houses was shown off. Only a trailer, though. I was hoping for something from the Treehouse, but alas, we did not get anything.
From the title, I was going to do like a little pigs like funny thing there, but I think I'll leave that because it wasn't as fun.
No, go ahead, Jack. We're all ears.
The three little pigs and their three houses, you know, like one's made out of straw, One's made out of sticks and one's made out of bricks.
To be honest, when I first saw the name, I was kind of like, oh. You know, I'm still not sold on the name completely. It may need a bit more growing on me. Because like, compared to like previous titles, like, of course, in the 3DS era of titles, it's been Awakening, Fates, Echoes, and then you got Three Houses. You know, it's a bit...
That was said with such, like... Yeah,
that's how it feels.
Aww.
Like, you know, like, even, like, before the 3DS, you've got, like, Sacred Stones, Radiant Dawn, Path of Radiance, all these, like, almost grandiose titles, and then you just cut to Three Houses, and it kind of feels a bit lower on the scale. But aside from that, I think it looks nice. I was hoping... In all honesty, I wasn't expecting a delay. If they have to work out kinks and stuff, then yeah, that's cool, that's fine. Spring 2019 still seems a fine date for Fire Emblem games, because that's been pretty much when it's been launched anyway. So yeah, a bit saddened by the delay, although it may be understandable. It looks okay. Game Explain launched an analysis of it yesterday evening, and it showcased a fair amount of things. I'm liking the character designs. They look very different, though, than the character designs from Fates and Echoes. Even then, with Echoes, was quite different to Fates as well. So yeah, I'm interested to see more than just the three main lords. I want to see how all those pan out. Story-wise, I want to see more. I'm not too intrigued of it yet. I still get a gist that it's sort of going to be like a Fates sort of thing, but instead of two families, it's going to be three houses. It looks pretty. I think there's something missing from it, though. I'm not quite sure what exactly. I think for me, it's in terms of the in-game UI. When in the battle cutscenes, they look really good, but it's more on the outer field. For some reason, I think the UI could use a bit more work. Personally, it seems a bit too empty. They're also returning weapon durability, which is actually...
Yeah, I saw you weren't happy about this.
Yeah, I'm mixed. I'm mixed, because I think... it could provide a challenge, because I think with Fates, it does remove the challenge of, oh, you've got to be careful, but on the other hand, it's like I'm more free to just be able to, oh, so I could just use this powerful thing without much repercussion. So I'd always have to be saving myself for, you know, I've got to save myself for when I really need it, and then when I really need it, I'm like, oh, I may need it further down the line, and then I don't end up using it until the very end of the game. So that's the case how I always feel with those kind of durability systems. Although it's probably just a me problem.
I think so.
Probably. Thanks, Jack. So I hope that they fix the economy of the game, because especially playing through Echoes, it was very hard to come across new weapons, and by the end of the game, I probably only was able to upgrade about 7 units total for actually half-decent weapons. Phase was quite nice. That had a fair economy. I was able to supply my units with enough stuff. So maybe the money system is okay, that allows me to be able to stock up a frequent amount relatively often. Fire Emblem Three Houses, I'm looking forward to more. Especially like, I don't know. I just really need to see more. I'm actually not sure if we are going to get a rep from them in Smash Brothers anymore. Because the main avatar of the game, the glimpses that we did see of them, doesn't really seem all that unique so far. And you may be taking a bit of a background role this time, which I'm not sure about. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to it, of course, as a Fire Emblem fan. There's still Fire Emblem Heroes to keep me going. But aside from that, I'm just happy that, like, you know, they seem to be viewing Fire Emblem as, like, a quite a big series now. You know, for its first look to be at an E3 presentation. I think that's quite really cool, because we haven't actually had that before. I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, enough about that. Let's go on to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Do you know what the best thing about this so far, right?
Go on.
They've announced that every character is going to be in Smash, yeah?
Mm.
Every single character.
From every game that's ever been in Super Smash.
So this means we're going to have Cloud and Snake in the same game, yeah?
Yep.
So we can actually do that. Who's the best PS1 character on a Nintendo console?
That is nuts.
It's amazing. I love it.
Mm.
I can't wait to strangle Cloud's stupid face with Snake. This would be great. That got dark.
It's going to be interesting.
That's what Snake does when he holds people, when he grabs them. Like, strangles them.
Yeah,
another thing will be a Snake amiibo.
Yes.
I guarantee that's going to happen.
And Wolf as well. Surely. We got Wolf again.
Yes, Wolf. We did mention this. I did mention this in a massive post on Twitter about all the amiibos we haven't got yet.
Mm.
Young Link has got one, but I think he'll get another one.
Probably another one.
I think the Smash specific
line. Although they have made it clear that any ones from different versions will still work.
Mm.
Yes. Which is good, really, the fact that you can still mix and match with those and maybe develop different characters if they do the same sort of system as before.
Mm.
But there were, like, ice climbers returning.
Yeah, everybody can want that. So we're going to have about 16 ice climbers running about.
You finished with the amiibo stuff.
Well, I was going to say, there's going to be another amiibo for them as a two-character sort of thing, I presume.
Probably.
So there was also new designs for Zelda, Ganondorf, and Link.
I love these designs. I don't think they're going to get new amiibo, but I just want to put it out there that I really like their new designs.
I think they will get new amiibo.
I
don't know about Link.
Ganondorf I like. Zelda, I don't know.
Zelda looks so much better in this game compared to a Twilight Princess version in Smash for Wii U and 3DS and Brawl.
I don't mind it. I just don't.
I'm not sure.
Know if it works. Cause
literally, everyone on my timeline are just making memes of how much better Zelda looks in this game compared to before.
I don't know. It feels a bit too toony.
Fair enough.
Compared to, like, a very serious looking Ganondorf and Link.
Okay. So other than that, right? Pichu.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yes. Definitely
I like
that
to
one.
Hurt myself as I attack.
Now, Pokemon Trainer. How are they going to do that as an amiibo?
I reckon they're just going to have just a Pokemon Trainer.
Yeah, probably. Because it's technically him.
Yeah, and have the previous Charizard amiibo just be for the Pokemon Trainer in general.
But I really want a Squirtle amiibo.
We could be getting that, but
I really want one.
You'd have to be. But it's the Pokemon Trainer as a whole, really.
Mm.
That's what I was actually surprised. Like, I was only expecting, like, Ice Climbers and Wolf to return. But no, they're just okay, fuck it. We're bringing back everybody.
Well, there could be more characters to be announced because of the Echo characters.
Yeah, so, like, I think Mr. Sakurai said the number one priority was bringing everyone back, which, to be honest, I'm completely fine, because that's already over 60 characters, which is just, which is nuts. And then that's not even accounting that the fact that a lot of them are even getting changes, you know.
I think
there's one in particular character who's a Peach Echo character.
Daisy.
Oh, no.
Who's
Fox has got a rival for annoying voice lines.
Yes,
she's
this
like,
is true.
"Hi, I'm Daisy. Hi, I'm Daisy." It's just gonna be like, "Oh my
god,
that's
gotta be a taunt."
That's banned all
that
the time.
That has to be a taunt.
She's already got an amiibo confirmed by the Treehouse Live, so that's pretty cool.
No surprises.
I'm worried that they're gonna put Falco as an Echo character of Fox.
No, they won't do that.
Right? No,
he's got too much of a different moveset.
Okay. Plus, if he was gonna be an Echo, he would have been already put out that he is an Echo fighter.
Surely Wolf should be an Echo character.
Too different. No, Wolf's too different.
More aggressive, Fox. I guess. More attacking.
Yeah.
But it's like, so Echoes are pretty much like the minimal differences, I guess.
Yeah.
Like Dark Bit and Lucina.
So my first question to you guys then is what other Echo characters do you reckon there'll be then? Because I can't really think of any.
I can think of a lot of potential ones, but I'm actually... Because I think they wouldn't have made a big thing about Echo Fighters.
Oh, there is one... I definitely think it's coming is Dr. Mario as an Echo character.
Oh, no, he's not an Echo character.
He's not an Echo character, funnily enough.
Is he not? Oh,
no,
okay.
Otherwise, he would have had the Epsilon symbol next to his number.
Ah.
And he didn't. He had a normal.
Yeah, he has different movesets as well. Like, his down area was different, I believe.
It's the spin attack, I think.
Yeah, whereas,
it's
Mario
not
did have...
Dr. Mario now has Stomp. Instead of a spinny move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Echo character. I think the only one I've actually seen plausible enough has been Dark Samus.
Yes.
Because
that makes sense.
Whilst you know the absence of Dark Samus's assist trophy isn't really enough to deconfirm, or at least confirm that is Dark Samus a he or a she? I guess it would be a she,
it's
right?
Still a
she.
Yeah,
I guess.
Okay. I don't know. I'm sorry, Metroid fans. I don't know. but
they're all coming after you now, Matt.
But Dark Samus isn't actually... Dark Samus's palette and colours aren't part of normal Samus's palettes.
No, right. No.
Anymore. So I think that's quite significant of the fact that maybe Dark Samus is going to be playable as an Echo Fighter this time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think will be cool. It'll be cool to get another Metroid rip. In terms of other Echo Fighters, I think Dixie Kong could work well to get another Donkey Kong rep in there. As well as... I would love Funky Kong for Donkey Kong. I think that would be just really...
That
really
would work.
Yeah, that would work.
That could
Cross
work.
Promo.
We could have Shadow for Sonic.
Yes, this is the one I want to talk about because
I don't
Knuckles
know.
Knuckles is now a trophy.
Yeah, and that is a fair point because I'm not sure if they'd have two third parties being assist trophies. They could do though because I think Sonic's big enough to warrant that. But I think if we are going to get a new Sonic newcomer, it's going to be Shadow as an Echo Fighter. Which I think would be quite
good. Actual
but he was an assist trophy. Oh no, but they're saying that they've made assist trophy and a...
Yeah.
Knuckles is the assist trophy now, and they think that him being replaced by Knuckles means he could be a character.
Yeah.
And it would make sense as an Echo character for Shadow to be in the game. The fact that he's been on the GameCube.
But you've got to remember, Echo characters have got to have similar attack styles.
Shadow's quite similar to Sonic, I'd say. Mm. You know, maybe change up the final smash, similar to Pit and Dark.
That's probably the only difference, to be fair. And
yeah.
But even that, you could still do the Super Shadow as the ability you're going to think.
It's
a slight difference.
Yeah. I suppose one thing we could talk about, though, is the fact that there is a new character.
Yeah.
Not Waluigi.
Yeah, not Waluigi. It's purple, but not Waluigi.
It is.
It's Ridley.
Fucking hell. Oh my god.
Now, no. Before we go into this, how many times did we have this discussion that Ridley would be a playable character? And we always went,
at least,
it's never going to happen. He's too big. It's not going to work. Blah, 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 blah.
I was the strongest believer for a long time, but like, before... Because I put it on my bingo card. It's like, you know what, yeah, fuck it, Renly's gonna be in Smash. That's gonna be the big thing at
E3.
Yeah. But I still wasn't expecting it. That was still, oh my god.
It literally, I think, blew everyone away. But it was just like, and it just goes to show that if just enough people ask for it and keep asking,
Sakura,
that it can happen.
Give in.
But,
oh my god, that's still fucking nuts.
The cutscene was really dark.
Mega Man, like, and Mega Man and Mario fucking die.
They've been and gotten like destroyed. It was like, whoa,
oh my god.
Okay.
But
Samus was all like, what the fuck? And then, like, the final Smash as well was just like, damn.
Really extra, yeah. I think that CG trailer was really well done. I'm really happy. Because, like, I think the last time we've actually seen, like, a CG trailer for a newcomer like that has been, like, was Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while, because the DLC characters only got in-game footage. Yeah, so I'm hoping that trend continues. But Sakurai did say not to expect many newcomers, so I'm personally expecting maybe 3 wholly newcomers, and then maybe a bit more, some more Echo Fighters, like maybe 2 or 3 Echo Fighters.
I think also one thing they touched upon was the fact that characters have to be unlocked.
Yeah, I like
rather
this.
Rather than just given.
So I think
the whole melee thing where they had to be unlocked.
I think the main idea is that you start with the original 12 characters from Smash 64, and the way you unlock fighters has actually been streamlined. So hopefully that means that a story mode is returning, like Subspace Emissary. Because when you met the character in that story mode, you got them unlocked.
Yeah, that was Brawl, wasn't it?
So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's what they mean by streamlining. But I'm looking forward to that. It'll give us something to do. I like that feeling of building up a roster of characters.
Yeah, it made you really want to play and really want
to
earn
it.
I remember with Melee, to get Mewtwo, you had to play a certain amount of hours on multiplayer. So either, like, you either plug in 2 controllers and leave it on overnight and wait for the hours to ramp up. And that was funny. But yeah, no, it's a much better feeling than just being given a character.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I like that. I'm really interested to see what that's going forward. Anyway, so those are characters. Personally, I'm really not sure. I think, do you think we'll be seeing DLC? I think there's no way they can ignore DLC, personally.
They went really well last time, didn't they, for them? So I don't
think they'd be idiots not to do DLC. To give the opportunity to expand the game is no question a good idea.
Hashtag where's Shovel Knight?
Yeah, that's a good point. At least one indie character. Come on, please.
It's Steve from Minecraft.
Oh, jeez,
oh
no. I will die.
I'm actually happy.
Hero Bright.
Yeah.
I reckon Steve would probably just be a trophy.
Bomberman was a trophy. I was actually quite surprised by that. I'm actually happy with that. I'd actually prefer him being an assist trophy. I think that actually suits the character more, personally.
Yeah, I think it
was still quite surprising that a third-party character was an assist trophy that doesn't come from an actually playable franchise.
Mm.
So that took me off guard. So I'm hoping for, like, maybe some more third-party assist trophies. Maybe that's how Shovel Knight would get him. Who knows?
Maybe.
Maybe. So who are we thinking? So there's got to be some more big third party characters. I'm thinking that Simon Belmont rumor may actually be true.
Do you think?
I think so.
I don't know.
Because the rumor did state Ice Climbers and Ridley. Ice Climbers was a bit safe, and Ridley, you know, they still got Ridley. But Simon Belmont, you know, could happen. You know, they've got Snake back. They've got Bomberman in as an assist trophy. I don't think someone's too far off now.
Mm.
People do want him. But yeah, I'm just rooting for Professor Layton. If Professor Layton gets him, that's the greatest game of all time, sorted.
Yeah.
No, there's actually no question. If they just get Layton in, if they...
Do you know what? We forgot to cover Squid Kids being in this as well. The Inklings.
No, they actually look exactly how I envisioned them to be. Splatbomb,
I think it's more
special.
The mechanics that, like, surprised me.
No, that's... I think, apart from... Because I envisioned them being able to swim through the ink to refill. Mm. So that's slightly different. But aside from that, just all the moves and stuff, that's exactly how I saw them as. You know, super jump
did
for the...
Did you see the Kirby ability with the ink things? Just so accuracy.
with the inky hat. Oh, my God.
The thing with him, though, is he sucks them up and he can use the inkling gun to shoot ink with.
But he can't refill.
He can't refill. So once it's gone, it's gone.
So it's a case of get rid of the hat and refresh.
Yeah, that's it.
In other words, to be honest, Kirby never keeps the same hat for long because you kind of want to try and get a different ability. And
that's it, yeah.
You get knocked out, you're going to need to get a new one anyway. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to playing as Inklings. I think they'll look cool.
They will be exceptionally good.
Moving on, the other big thing they kind of blew out, but it's kind of blown out outside of the presentation, are the stages.
Yeah, some of the stages looking good.
Over 80 confirmed stages to be in this game. 80. Nuts.
This will keep a lot of us entertained. Right. I won't get bored as easily. I think how many was in Wii U?
Had 48, I believe. 48 or 43.
So at least almost double the amount of stages. Almost,
it's going to be double by the time the game releases. You know, if not by the end of the DLC. I'm actually quite surprised by the Splatoon stage, because I think a lot of people were predicting either Urchin Underpass or Linkopolis Plaza stage. But Moray Tower seems quite a good fit. Albeit really surprising, because I don't think that's a really popular map in the Splatoon community. But yeah, you know, it looks a fun stage. Anyway, just listen to this. So you got all the base stages. You got the Omega forms. You got Battlefield forms, which is something I wanted as well. And then you have the option to turn off hazards.
Yeah, I don't know how... Like, that's what makes a map a map.
No, but it's like more... For more competitive play. Like, we saw that
with...
That is
true.
Freegate Orpheon. So, like, as someone who does... like to enjoy competitive play and watching it, especially in tournaments. Hopefully this will allow for more legal stages now that you can turn off hazards, which is something I really wanted, and I think a lot of other people wanted. So seeing that confirmed is just like, you know, this is already going to be the best Smash game.
By far, yeah, definitely. It's got everything you need, basically, to make it the perfect thing. And it's just going to add more and more to it.
And they've only shown us, pretty much, some early mechanics, characters and stages, and that's been it so far. It's like, we've still got more stages to see, more characters to see, we've got to see modes.
Speaking on the competitive bit again, notice that they've put, like, a point next to the damage. So, damage will be more precise.
That's quite interesting. I think I quite appreciate that, to be honest. That's quite cool.
The competitive play as well, because rather than rounding up their damage, they'll have more accurate damage. So now they can really calculate their counters and damage takes. Oh, speaking of damage, the dodges are different. You could directional dodge.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, I think. And roll that, and dodging is nerfed. So the more so the more you dodge, the higher lag you'd get.
Yeah,
which
better
is
than
amazing.
Tripping. Much better than tripping. Mm. I think that's a better way of doing it. Actually get in there and fight and not keep having to duck and dodge all the time. Yeah. It's like,
no one likes tripping. That's good, it's gone, not coming back ever again.
Thank God.
So What other characters do we want then?
I already said Leighton. I was actually quite surprised Takamaru didn't get in. I was expecting Takamaru to be a new retro rep, actually. But he's being deconfirmed as an assist trophy.
If I were to have, like, two, three characters, Shovel Knight, definitely.
Yeah.
And then maybe Springman Ribbon Girl.
That's an interesting Ribbon one, Girl actually. Yeah, no arms. Fighter.
Yeah, and then maybe like have Springman and then have Ribbon Girl as the Echo character.
I can see that.
No arms characters yet, so it's interesting. And if we want to cross promote that game, that I'd surprised they're not in Smash yet. So
yeah, I thought it'd be a good idea, but you never know, really. They've, you know, it's still time. They've still got secrets.
The other thing I found confusing is that they didn't have the Breath of the Wild Zelda in there.
She's only a researcher. They said this.
I think Sakurai said on the treehouse, I think he likes the design of the, I think it's Link to the Past and Link Between Worlds, yes. Zelda. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
sort of like a mix between that. And I think he liked the design of that Zelda more, and he just wants to represent more Zelda games.
He also really said that the Zelda from Breath of the Wild was more seen as a researcher rather than a fighter.
Yeah, that was
so that was another reason, I believe, as to why they didn't use Breath of the Wild Zelda.
But I prefer this design, though, to be honest. It's more princess-like, I think. You know,
it goes in line with this Final Smash as well.
It's more traditional to the older games, so I can understand why they've done it. But I can see other people being annoyed about it at the same time. So I'm wondering if they'll have to,
an extra question for it.
I wouldn't say I'm annoyed. I'd just say you've got two serious-looking characters and then a not-so-serious-looking of all the Zeldas. Seems a bit more like... Not toonish, but
I do prefer the Ganondorf skin though.
He has a sword. He uses a sword.
Matt's happy for the sword.
That's all you need to know. People have been clamoring. Like literally, there was the at the Nintendo New York store reactions, because I normally do reactions for directs, right? So when they were doing the character changes and stuff like that, and Ganondorf's appeared. People were chanting, sword, 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 and it showed Ganondorf's F-Smash being a sword. And they were like, yeah! You know, it was nuts. But yeah, I'm really happy because, you know, it's cool. I don't know. I'm loving the renders for all these characters as well.
I think with the Switch's new capacity and hardware... The game itself is looking a lot crisper and more beautiful.
More expressive.
I literally was just like, oh, this looks so good.
Like, I'm looking at Toon Link now, and he's, like, even more expressive compared to the Wii U version. Like, especially on his key art. It just looks so cool. Wolf looks cool. Rob looks a bit dorky, but, you know, still cool.
He's Grob.
Just a quick one before I forget. Did either of you see the extra Pokemon that was added to the Pokeballs?
Solgaleo.
There's Lunala, Bellwear, and Alolan Vulpix as well.
Alolan Vulpix was the one I was about to say. It's just been announced a couple of days ago, so... Interesting that they added new characters to that as well, because that's probably going to take them even more time to do.
I'm hoping, if I could have a choice, I think another Pokemon rep may actually be unlikely, because we've already got 9.
True.
But in the chance we do, I'm really hoping it is Decidueye, because that has been a fan favourite.
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, you know, Decidueye is cool. You know, and I think from the time that Smash did, was probably side production, so around about mid-2016, Sakurai must have known about Decidueye, or at least had the ability to know about Decidueye. I'm hoping for this, Edgeway. But aside from that, I'm just happy everyone's here, you know. If this is the final Smash game ever, then I'd be pretty happy. I think it is
the last one by Sakurai.
Yeah. Even if it's like just the last one in general, I'd be happy. But I think, at least what I'm hoping for, is that this is the last Sakurai directed Smash Brothers game. So he puts all his work into this one, which he seems to be doing. Maybe works on DLC as well, and then after DLC ends, if DLC is coming, then work on new stuff. Because Kid Icarus Uprising is one of my favourite games of all time. I would love him to see working on a new franchise. It is such a good game. So I'd love I'd love to see what else he could do. I'm hoping for a re-release on the Switch. That'd be epic. Yeah, I just want to see Sakurai do something other than Smash again. But the man, you know, dedicates himself so much to Smash, you know. But it would be cool to see if new talent does come in and see what their take on Smash Brothers would be. I think that could lead for an interesting time.
Oh, I just forgot to mention the Squid Sisters are also an assist trophy as well.
That's true.
Oh, so, yeah. That's cool. Oh, that's pretty cool. Amazing.
Yeah.
I forget the other two. The original Squid Sisters are the best.
Wow.
I think I prefer Paolo and Marina, to be honest. Cool. I like the dynamic more. Anyway, moving on. So, Smash Brothers. December release date. I was quite surprised by this. I was expecting
Christmas time. I reckon that's good enough time. Makes sense.
True. Let's just hope it doesn't get delayed.
I doubt it.
It won't. Not now. It's definitely here now.
But yeah, you know, this is looking like the Smash Brothers of my dreams. I'm really happy with it. I think the only character I would ever be actually lukewarm about would probably be Steve. You know. I'm not going to lie. I think the annoying thing is, I think Steve actually does deserve to be in Smash Brothers. But
right.
I still wouldn't like it, you know, because Minecraft is a massively popular series, but I don't know.
I have noticed something interesting, actually, as I was just looking on the Smash Bros. Official website. They've given Pokemon Trainer number 33 to 35.
Yeah.
So to have Squirtle, Ivysaur, and Charizard. Do you think that would make them playable individually as well?
Well, you can play them anyway without a penalty, so you don't have to necessarily switch out and have a problem.
If they're going to be able to play separately, it's just weird. There'd be no point for the Pokemon Trainer then. I think that would conflict.
Yeah.
We could see individual amiibo, but I'm not sure.
I hope we get a Squirtle one. I really want a Squirtle amiibo. God damn it.
I'm just a lot for words every time I see it. It's just crazy this game is existing right now. We got all characters revealed from the get-go. And its first reveal, they were like, oh, everyone's here. I released all the key art for all the characters. That is mental.
I also forgot we got Ryu and Bayonetta as well. Exactly. As Cloud and Snake. So this is crazy, isn't it? The fact we can have a whole match.
It's like an actual all serious looking characters brawl.
Pac-Man and Mega Man. All together as well, so you can literally have a non-Nintendo fight. It's great.
That's true. Yeah, wow. I think we could be seeing a new third party rep. There has to be, surely.
Shovel Knight. We've already discussed this.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping for Shovel Knight. I'm hoping for Shovel Knight.
A lot of people are.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I'd say if I could choose three more characters, I'd go Shovel Knight, Professor Layton, and Wonder Red from Wonderful.
Wonder Red would be pretty cool. Yeah.
I think it'd be suitable for it, especially with the relationship between Nintendo and Platinum.
I'd like to see the guy from the little guy from Balloon Trip to have an actual character.
They kind of mimicked that though in the Animal Crossing Villager with the balloons.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
I actually take back my Wonder Red thing, and I would actually replace it by a Rhythm Paradise representative, okay. Like the Chorus Kids. I would love that. That'd be so cool. Anyway.
Oh, and the Toon Link render for his actual character.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Stunning. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Cloud.
Cool.
King Dedede, yeah. Nice. Right, any final thoughts on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate?
The only thing I could say now is I think they need to keep the secrets under wraps and release them as they're doing now. Keep people guessing. This is what.
Slowly but surely, yeah.
Yeah, okay. this is the good way of doing it.
I'm just hoping for no leaks. It'd be a real bummer if we get like a month for release date and it's like, okay, yeah. Here are the leaks.
If we got to E3 without anybody guessing that the entire roster was coming back or had been leaked, then they clearly have got it a bit more under control this time.
I think a fair amount of people were expecting the Wii U roster to be returning, including the DLC. But I don't think many people would have seen like every veteran returning, like Peach and Young Link. I don't think people would have seen them coming back. So yeah, that's just really cool. We're at 68 fighters right now. That's mental for a game without DLC. That's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Anyway. So I guess that wraps it up for our E3 discussion. Good E3, bad E3?
Good E3.
Good E3.
Yeah.
It was a good E3. Not great, but it was good. Smash
it's
completely
been worse.
Saved it for me. Yeah, there's definitely been worse.
Yeah, there's been much worse.
But yeah, so that wraps up this section, so let's move on to our next section. So this is the final section of this quite big episode of the Nintendo Podcast System. So, shout-outs. Who would like to give their shout-out first?
I'd like to go last, if possible. Please.
Oh, okay then. I'll go first if you want. Firstly, I wanted to give a shout-out to all the hard-working teams behind E3 and from all the companies, because it must have been such a stressful time to get everything running and working and doing all of these like conferences and showing off the games to the public and press and things. It must be a stressful time for them all. And I think most of them all did a pretty good job, to be fair. There weren't any real massive complaints from what I saw, other than a few issues with a few games that people didn't like and things like that. But yeah, it was really good E3, I thought, in general. There's nothing negative about it, in my opinion, that was too, like, nothing. I'm not excited for any games or anything like that. I'm looking forward to most of the games that are out there. So, thanks to everyone there. I think that's pretty cool. I am super annoyed with Harrison Mielfeld from Nintendo Voice.
Annoyed.
I'm super jealous that he got to go to E3. So there's a shout out for you there, Harrison, somewhere, I think. So, but yeah, I'm super jealous that he went. And maybe next year, guys. You know, you never know. If someone wants to give me an invite, you know, I might turn up. You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And one last shout out. I just chucked in the Dredgeland podcast in there, which is basically a podcast that talks about absolute nonsense, and it's normally quite a funny thing every for an hour every week, and they literally do talk just random stuff the whole time, and it's all like off the cuff kind of things, and it's quite a good listen if you want to laugh for an hour. So check them out on Twitter and on the old good podcast apps. That's Dredgeland Podcast. That's my shout outs.
Fair do.
You're next, Matthew.
I'll go quickly. My shout out is to everyone at Source Gaming. Source Gaming is a site dedicated to Super Smash Brothers. They are hardworking team working hard to provide with accurate Smash Brothers information. So that means debunking leaks, rumors, providing accurate translations. They work really hard. I think especially within the past week of Smash content, they did really good stuff, like discussions, just looking at everything in general. And of course, a series which has been ongoing for a couple of months, I believe, has been Rate That Character, where they choose one possible newcomer, rank them on a scale from 1 to 100 on the likelihood of being playable in Super Smash Bros. Weighing in their pros and cons as well. It's a really interesting series, only bite-sized series, but it's pretty much out every weekday. Really interesting stuff. Like, I think today's one was on the Balloon Fighter, actually.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. but of course, there have been other ones as well. I'm still hoping for their verdict on Layton's chances. I'm curious for that. But it's like, they thought that Takamaru had an 85% chance of making it into Smash, for example. And Daisy having a 20% chance of being Smash. So it really shows that, like, of course it's not going to be accurate, it's just their own opinions. For a bit of fun. And they do really good work. And Smash, as well as other video game content, so that's where my shout-out goes to.
Nice.
Sam!
Ooh.
Yeah, it comes to me.
That'd be sad.
So this being my last time to do shout-outs, I just kind of really want to shout-out to everybody, really. The gaming community, just, I'd say, keeping positive, keep having fun, involve everyone. I want to say thank you to all of our guests that we've had. It's what makes the show interesting. Just what keeps us all having a laugh and a giggle, keeps bringing up good points and conversations. And then we come back to these things later on, like we have now, and we're like, oh, we said that, and, you know, we talked about that, and it's happened. And to all of our listeners, just thank you, because, you know, you guys are why, you know, we kept doing the show, and, you know, we wouldn't otherwise. It just makes a big difference to every single person that listens. And probably my last shout out to you two. I couldn't really have asked for a better guys to do a podcast with. we just have so much like laughs and giggles. It's been absolutely brilliant, honestly, guys. I know you two will keep carrying on and like making the show awesome. So thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's so lovely.
I'm trying to say this without choking up right now.
For that.
Thanks, man. Guys. It's been absolutely awesome.
Yeah, man.
Honestly.
Like I said.
It's been an honour. You know, ever since episode 3, you've brought you've brought an extraordinary amount of enthusiasm to each episode.
You did 50 episodes, Sam. More than 50 episodes.
Oh, no. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just been like you've brought such life to this show. you've been part of it for a long while, so it's going to be weird going back to just me and Jack being the carriers, which was only for the first two episodes.
I think you guys will do well, and they will give you guys the opportunity to have more guests in, which will help bring a different perspective each time.
We do definitely need more guests. That's the thing.
You do need more guests.
Yeah.
If you want to be other guests on the podcast, let us know. We'll get you sorted on.
Like you guys said, I mean, should something like of particular interest come up, I will most happily jump back on.
The next time there's an Animal Crossing announcement,
you'll be the first one to go on.
I could talk for Animal Crossing forever.
Man. Skunk.
But thank you guys, honestly. It's been super awesome.
It's been fun.
It's been good, dude. It's been good.
It's a sad. It
always has been.
I know.
I've always enjoyed it. I just talk rubbish all the time and people listen to it for some reason. So
we all do. Don't feel back.
So thank you, listeners. Thank you, guests. Thank you, gaming community. And thank you, Sam. Very nice. Thank you.
Yes, that's it. It wraps up, doesn't it? Weird.
Just a footnote of news, because I just noticed on Twitter that the next community day for Pokemon Go is Squirtle. So if anyone's interested, that would be the day after my birthday. So everyone's got to come out in Southampton. And stuff. Yeah. So 8th of July. So yay!
Woo. So
I guess that's it.
That seems to be it. Sam, what is our closing music?
I thought it's appropriate, like I said at the start, it's all Super Smash Brothers music. Since Brawl had some really good music, it's the credits one with the like live orchestra and singing. I thought it'd be quite an epic way to see us out on this episode.
That'll be our music. You'll probably be hearing that in a fair amount of time. But first, you've got to know where you can keep up with all of us.
This is true.
Right? Okay, so you can find myself on Twitter at acegibbo, A-C-E-G-I-B-B-O. That's pretty much the only place I'm really active. I do have a YouTube channel by the same name, but I barely use it. But yeah, so keep up with me for Twitter for updates on where you can find my articles and whatnot, which hopefully now that I'm on summer vacation for a fair long time, hopefully I can actually do some work in that regard. Jack, where can people find you?
People can find me at Gawny, G-A-W-N-Y, 7789 on Twitter. Also available on YouTube, where I've been posting all of my thoughts about E3 conferences. I've still got the Sony one and the Nintendo one to post up there. I've got the notes ready for the Sony one. I need to re-record that one and then record the Nintendo one. But all the other ones, like Bethesda, Xbox, Square, and Ubisoft, are all on my YouTube channel right now, which is youtube.com/Gawny7789. So check that out. Cheers! Sam, where can we find you?
People can find me most actively on Twitter at samspade_UK.
So
yay! And make sure you all follow Sam and find out what he's doing, and I'm sure he'll post on there and keep everyone in the loop.
Yeah, I always go on there, look at gaming stuff, repost stuff. I love it. You can never tear me away from gaming.
Never.
So yeah. So make sure you all press F towards Sam.
Pay respects.
Pay respects. And follow him on Twitter and give him lots of abuse.
So that. About the pod. Okay, so you could subscribe to us on YouTube. Nintendo Podcast System, which is the name of the show. Just search for it in the YouTube search bar, it should come up. We are also on Podomatic and iTunes. And now we're also on Spotify.
And Spotify!
Which is a very big, quite a big deal. It's a new platform. Hopefully we will find new audiences there. Social media-wise, you can find us on both Twitter and Facebook. Our Twitter handle is NPodcastSystem. And I assume that's the same for our Facebook group as well?
Yes, that's it.
I'm not sure. So keep up there for updates on when new episodes will be coming out and when we will be recording, as well as where you can send our stuff. Guys, do you remember that we have a Discord group? Are we going to do anything about that, or is just like, nah?
I think it's faded into obscurity.
I think it's pretty dead. There's no saving it for...
I mean... I'm playing Fortnite a bit more, so if anyone does want to team up, that's probably a good place to use. So, yeah,
go there. go on Discord. It's in the link is in the description below. Right, that actually wraps it up for episode 53. A final hurrah for Sam Barnes, who's been an amazing co-host throughout his entire time, throughout the 3 years he's been of service to the Nintendo Podcast System crew. I salute
Thank you. Thank you so much. I was all choked up, and then you started. You just said a sleep button.
I'm sorry. Can't stop laughing. Right.
I could just imagine him doing an Arnold Rimmer impression from Red Dwarf. Just his arm going crazy as he does some sort of salute.
I'm doing the salute from Life of Brian. He's just like a knuckle to the head. Right, so let's wrap it up. So yeah, that ends it for episode 53 of Nintendo Podcast System. We hope you all enjoyed, and happy gaming.
Happy gaming!
Happy gaming!